And welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is Bob. This is part 25 of On the Witness Stand, Serious Questions for the Watchtower Cult. We were in the middle last time of studying the witness position on the Holy Spirit. And as I told you then, they do not capitalize those two words because they don't believe the Holy Spirit is a person, but rather just a force that comes from God. Let's start with 2 Corinthians today, chapter 3, verse 3, verse 6, and verse 17, portions of those three verses. It says, "Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." But New World Translation, that's the Witness Translation, there's no capitalization of the first three times Spirit is used. And then Jehovah is inserted two times for Lord. So my question to you, sir, Mr. Jehovah Witness, is Paul not talking about the same person throughout 2 Corinthians 3? The Spirit is mentioned five times. A Jehovah Witness might answer like this: well, if you're talking about an imaginary person you call the Holy Spirit, no, Paul never mentions such a one. He speaks first of the force that God uses in giving out revelation. Then he simply says what Jesus said in John 3, that Jehovah, the Almighty God, is a spirit. The Spirit of Jehovah is merely Jehovah himself, not a separate person. Well, my question is, it seems incredible to me that the Spirit of the living God is an inanimate force, but the reference to Jehovah being the Spirit is a reference to a living God. The flow of the passage, and you read it yourself, folks, it demands that Paul is talking here about the one and only Holy Spirit of God, the one who enables the unbeliever to become a believer, the one who writes the very message of heaven in the human heart, the one who gives life to the lifeless, causing him to be born again. And yes, the one who is indeed one with Jehovah, just as the Son is one with the Father. This passage is just another strong proof of the triunity or Trinity of our marvelous God. Here's another passage from 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 14. "The undeserved kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sharing in the Holy Spirit be with you all." Now, I just read from the New World Translation. I said in the Holy Spirit, and there's no capitals on Holy Spirit. Question, sir, is there a reason you've changed the preposition of in the Greek to the preposition in? Instead of saying the sharing of the Holy Spirit, you say the sharing in the Holy Spirit. The Jehovah's Witness might say, well, it must become clear to the readers that what we have found in other passages regarding the non-personality of Holy Spirit is consistently found. You mean you would deliberately change a word to solidify an opinion? Now, that's not what I said. Oh, but that's what you did. In the original, the Greek, and even I can read it, and I'm not a Greek scholar, there are three parallel prepositional phrases. The ending of Greek words means something. In this case, the endings are all genitive, possessive case. There's absolutely no basis for changing that idea in the third case, the Holy Spirit. First, there is the grace of Jesus. Second, there is the love of God. And third, there is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Genitive and definite article, the, in all three cases. And the New World Translation translators knew this, and they deliberately changed of to in. I think that's pretty serious. Why such a big deal about such a little word? Well, genitive possessive implies ownership. In the mind of a brainwashed witness, the blind force of God can own nothing. Only persons can own. They had to change it to in to give one the impression of lifelessness. In the wind, in the rain, in the force, in the spirit. No necessity now to think of the spirit as living and vital if you use in. No connection to two other equally lively persons, Christ and his Father. Notice here, before a witness points it out to you, notice that Christ and God are separated. We're accustomed to Son and Father as parts of one God. But if God is listed alone, what does that say about Jesus? Well, it says the same thing that listing the Holy Spirit separately does. It says that in our normal reference to the persons of the Godhead, we think of God as the Father, and of Jesus as our own human representative, and of the Spirit as the invisible person who helps us along the way. We often disconnect them in thinking, and here Paul does it in writing. Simply recall the last words of Jesus, telling us to baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And it all comes back together again. Always remember the whole picture of Scripture. Don't allow cultists to take you down a back alley and pound over your head an out-of-context thought. Be prepared with the whole truth. We're moving on now to another subject, the inspiration of Scripture. The Jehovah Witnesses claim no inspiration in the biblical sense for their many writings. They will tell you that. That's the official word. But then they make statements like, quote, God speaks to men only through Jehovah's Witnesses, or, quote, only watchtower directives are from the Holy Spirit, who is not a person in their view. They have been quoted as saying that God is our Father and the Jehovah's Witness organization is our mother. And they've said in the first century God spoke through the apostles, but today he speaks through the Jehovah's Witnesses. That's kind of like inspiration, don't you think? They believe they are God's sole collective channel for God's voice and authority. They're the only organization on earth that understands the deep things of God, according to them. There simply is nowhere else to go for eternal life, even though their eternity will be spent on earth and not in heaven, they say. The Watchtower Bible and Tract Society is the prophet to this generation. Rutherford, remember that's the second president, believed that he and his teachings were almost inspired, his words. He wanted to stop short of claiming a 2 Timothy 3:16 anointing for his revelations, but not too far short. He claims he could not have written his book, known as Light, is the name of the book, except by divine inspiration. So what's the difference in his claim from the apostolic claim? Jehovah's Witness publications are seen as the only channel by which the voice of the shepherd is heard. Scripture studies, said Russell of his seven volumes of Bible studies, that was the name of it, Scripture Studies. Russell said it was practically the Bible itself. In fact, because of the way the book was put together, a person could conceivably do without a Bible, but not without his scripture studies. The word includes all revelation is another message coming out of Brooklyn. God's revealed word in print is the Watchtower publication. Raymond Franz, 60 years in the Watchtower organization, 9 as a member of the governing body, went so far as to say that Jehovah God is the editor of that Witness magazine. Only by Jehovah's Witness publications, he said, can a person have right understanding of Scripture. And here's more from Franz, from a book called In Search of Christian Freedom, written in 1991. He said, true, there is periodic acknowledgement in the publications that the writers are, after all, imperfect men, and that the organization has never claimed to be infallible. That in actual practice, it works out quite differently. One finds that this only applies to the past, not the present. While the organization must recognize that it has changed a considerable number of its past teachings, which makes it evident they were in error, it does not feel moved to modesty by those errors, so as to remind its readers that what it now says may also suffer due to that same imperfection. And to the contrary, Jehovah's Witnesses are called on to take whatever is currently taught as if it were infallible. In effect, they are told you should accept everything published as absolute truth until such time as we may tell you that it isn't. Now, how firm a foundation is that? Witnesses claim no man can interpret the Scriptures. Only the Spirit, acting on members of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And we've heard this line many times, haven't we? Roman Catholics basically say it. Mormons say it. Many charismatics, unfortunately, say it. They don't mean it, I suppose, but it comes out that way sometime, doesn't it? And a whole lot more in the world say the exact same thing. You follow us because we're hearing from God and you're not. What does the word say about all this? 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. In the New World Translation, it says, all scripture is beneficial for teaching, reproving, disciplining, so that the man of God may be fully competent, completely equipped. Question, sir, Mr. Jehovah Witness, is the Bible sufficient for us or is it not? Jehovah Witness, quite sufficient, as this text proves. Well, then my question, we're going to set aside for the moment the question, which Bible? But in truth, does the Watchtower Society not use other literature besides the Scriptures? You write some other things? Oh, of course. Don't all Christian groups use Bible helps? I think this is a little different. In the first place, every Bible study we hear about in your group must include literature that includes Witness way of looking at Scripture. Students are told they must read these doctrinal booklets. There's no option. And it's a proved fact that when witnesses stop reading the assigned books and return to the Scriptures alone, they soon leave that organization. Even in the perverted New World Translation, there's enough truth for a man whose eyes are open to see that he's being fed lies on a regular basis. I believe it is true that the Scriptures, especially the ones circulating outside witness land, are sufficient to equip the would-be servant of God. Will you pray for the Jehovah Witnesses? Sometimes my teachings come off as very condemnatory and precatory. I don't really want that to be the emphasis here. These are false teachings. And these people, if they continue in these false teachings, bad things can come. And I want you to pray for them. Pray that they will become saved. And if you run across one and you're filled with the Spirit at the moment and are ready to bring them to Christ, do so. But be very, very careful. They're smart. They're prepared. You be prepared too. God will give you the answers you need if you trust Him. Well, thank you for being with me today. Check in from time to time to see what's going on here at the Hackberry House of Chosun website of sermonaudio.com. And by God's grace, I will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.